So this is kind of a part two of what I presented on Wednesday night. If you recall, Wednesday night we were discussing doctrine, Bible doctrine, and other doctrines the Bible refers to. Doctrine being the idea of a coherent body of teaching that's put forth. And the Bible talks about communicating doctrine and receiving doctrine. We talked about doctrine defined is a body or principle of positions in a branch of knowledge or belief. And the older dictionary that we refer to, the 1878 dictionary, it's whatever is taught, it's a principle or a position, whatever is laid down by an instructor or a master. The doctrines of the gospel are the principles or truths taught by Christ and his apostles. So the idea of doctrine is what the Bible puts forth as the means to put forth the truth that God gives us. All right, so we discussed the idea of imparting doctrine, which is the term indoctrinate, which is a loaded term in our time. The idea of is usually mostly used in a negative sense, where there's coercion or there's deception in order to get a point across. But true doctrine is simply preached or taught, you know, without adornment. And that's always the testimony of the scriptures, is that true doctrine, God brings forth his servants, his prophets, his representatives, and they simply declare what God has said. Whereas false doctrine always comes with deception, it always comes with a note of intimidation, a coercion to get people to believe it. So a couple of the takeaway points from Wednesday night. One is, the Bible tells us that there are true and there are false doctrines. So the Bible identifies false teachings that are out there, all right. So it, with the purpose of exposing them, so that we may know what is false. The sources of false doctrine are, of course, the devil, devils, human beings, and religion. Religion is a source of false doctrine. And false doctrine, unfortunately, can exist alongside a true doctrine in a church. Okay, we learn that testimony in Revelation chapter 2. There are grotesque forms of false doctrine that the Lord calls out through John, his apostle, to the churches at that time. We cannot assume that false doctrines are not near us and around us. The second point was that God is the source of true doctrine, and he has made sure that it has continued to us in our day and our time. He has brought it forth through the Old Testament, through his son Jesus Christ. The Lord gave it to his disciples and apostles, and then identified men, and they brought it forth to the churches, and that continues to this day. And the last point is that doctrine, true or false, has a decisive impact upon us for good or bad. All right, so the doctrine that we hear and assimilate, if it's true doctrine, we will be blessed. If it's false doctrine, there will be harm to us. Okay, we have a compelling reason to seek out the good doctrine. And I call attention to a verse in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So good doctrine is a transforming power in our lives for good, to take us out of serving sin to serving righteousness. And then also, false doctrine has the ability to seduce us away, to deceive us, to take us away from Jesus Christ and make us vulnerable to manipulation by devils and by human beings. And I left you with a warning from John, 2 John 1, 9. Excuse me, let me turn there. It says, whoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. So let's take a moment and pray before we go on. Our Father in heaven, we ask your blessing that your truth might be communicated here, and that in a way that can be apprehended and taken in by each one of us. We ask for your blessing and profit upon your saints, and that we might be a people of truth, a people of your word, and a people profited by it. In Jesus' name, amen. So So the issue you want to put forth today, this is more of the exhortation portion of the doctrine study, is what who has responsibility for doctrine in our day, and what exactly does the scriptures teach is the responsibility for the doctrine we have. Okay. So the first one would obviously pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers have a primary responsibility to bring forth true doctrine. All right. So we then the first thing for those who teach and preach is that they have to allow themselves to be impacted by that doctrine themselves, even as they teach and preach. Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So the Apostle Paul had his doctrine from the Lord, and then he committed to Timothy, and then he in turn expected Timothy to bring forward that doctrine to others. So the responsibility, is the connection there. I'm sorry, I'm not getting this clear. The connection is that the doctrine is handed down by God, by the Father to the Son, to the disciples and apostles, and then from them to the men who God has called and gifted to be pastors and teachers. All right. So 1 Timothy 4:6 says that. If we put ourselves in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So the very act of teaching and preaching ought to be to the teacher and preacher the means for their own nourishment in the Word of God. A lot of times, pastors, they very much want to go sit under someone else's ministry, because they feel drained. They want to go hear someone else preach and teach, because they give so much of themselves in that purpose. My notes are out of order. So the first one was in 1 Timothy chapter 4, there's the responsibility to be intentional with doctrine, for the teacher and preacher. Verses 13 through 16, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So here's the point is that the preacher has to be a student, and has to have profit from the Word of God himself. I recall the mind in Romans where there's a label against those who would be teachers, but whose lives are not subject to the teaching that they give, and they end up bringing disrepute upon God, So if those who preach and teach have a serious challenge to them, to become compliant with the doctrine that they preach. So there's a lot of commands in here. It's neglect not the gift, So if you have the gift from God, you have to put it to use. You have to apply it, all right? So and it says to read, to exhort, to declare the doctrine. So he says meditate upon it. Give yourself wholly to these things. So the preacher has to be wholly given to the doctrine, to the living of the doctrine that he teaches, all right? And that prophet and those who are subject to that teaching and preaching should see the profit in the lives of him that teaches, and they that teach. All right, so that's a high calling to be subject to that, to the benefit of the doctrine ourselves. And it's very easy, of course, to accept ourselves, humanly speaking, from what we teach and preach others to do. That's the way, unfortunately, we're geared, is to make exceptions for ourselves, even as we call others to obedience. All right. So the next one is 2 Timothy 3:10. Apostle Paul says to Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. So we have to pay attention to those who taught us, those who taught, you know, there's a mentorship that goes on. And if God gives us, every one of us is probably here because someone has taken the time to teach us doctrine. You know, somebody has made the time, and we have to take advantage of that. If God brings those kind of people in our lives to teach us doctrine, then we need to allow them to do that, and we need to watch the way they live, okay? Because the imparting of doctrine is not just the words; it's the life that goes with it. So we pay attention to them with the intent of being. You know, Paul says, he wanted people to be able to follow him. He wanted to live it in a way that others would not be ashamed to follow after him and do as he did. So every teacher should be in a position, or every preacher to say the same to those who we teach as our mentors, is they should be in a position to follow him. So. The next thing is that we need to speak those things which are consistent with sound doctrine. In Titus chapter 2, it says, but speak those things which become sound doctrine. In verse 7, it says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. So this isn't just speaking about being on the job. So this is the way we conduct our lives. Any speaking we do, you know, as teachers and preachers should be according to true doctrine. All right, there's no place for, you know, for the preacher of God to be teaching otherwise in either conduct or whether he's in the pulpit or you know, in head of a classroom or whether he's at home or elsewhere. So the true doctrine has to be at hand at all times. And then the last thing on this topic is in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6 says. If thou put the brethren in remembrance thing, thou shalt be a good minister again of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, wherein thou hast attained. So in the practice, again, we can expect to be benefited from it. So the point is that if we're going to be teachers, we have to make sure that we have the profit of the doctrine as well as those that we teach and preach to. All right. The next thing is that we have to communicate the doctrine in a way that impacts others. So, again, 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 says, preach the word, okay, in season and out of season. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So in season, out of season means whether it's convenient or not. And a lot of times, of course, preaching or teaching is not always convenient. The opportunity doesn't always match up with what's convenient to us. But the calling is to preach it and to teach as the opportunity arises, not as it's convenient for us to do so. And the word is to be used to reprove and rebuke. We're okay with exhortation, but you know, often we'll stop short of a reproof or rebuke when one's required. I think, you know, that's the heart of a pastor is to challenge somebody when they're in the wrong, when they have a wrong doctrine, when they have a wrong practice in their lives. And you know, that's a responsibility of churches, and a lot of times we stop short of that with individuals. We don't want to offend. We don't want to appear as if we are in a position of authority or higher than somebody, but if God calls attention to something in someone's life that needs to be challenged, then that's a responsibility that the one who preaches has, is to challenge wrongdoing, wrong thinking, wrong believing. All right. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, I've recovered that verse. My mistake. And then the next thing is to hold fast the faith, the word of God. In Titus chapter 1 verse 9, it says, we have a responsibility to exhort and convince the gainsayers. So the reality is, when we're as preachers and teachers of doctrine, there's going to be those who are going to contend with good doctrine. Okay. Whether in the church or out of the church, and we don't argue with those kind of people, but we do contend with them with doctrine. Okay, it's not a battle. It's not him against me against him. It's truth against lies or deception, and a preacher of doctrine has to be ready to confront false doctrine. All right, so that's that comes with, and that comes again, you know, as John mentioned, it comes with a knowledge of the Word. We have to have a knowledge of the Word in order to do that. All right. So, and then he says in Titus chapter 2, 1 through 10, it says, speak those things which become sound doctrine, that aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience, that the aged woman be likewise, and that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not given, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing in all things good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And the reason for the extended pastor is that there's no place in our lives where doctrine doesn't have an impact. If we're an older man, the doctrine is important to us, and we have a responsibility to live up to the doctrine. An older woman, likewise, younger men, younger women, children, servants. Okay, there's no place in our lives, and we fulfill a lot of roles in our lives. In some place in our workplace, we may be a master, we may be a servant. In our homes, a father or a mother over children. Okay, and or we may be children of parents that we have responsibility to. The doctrines that God gives us applies in all these situations. Okay, so there's no place in life where the exhortation of God's doctrine does not have a place. There's no place where, in a sense, we're off duty when it comes to the Word of God. So so at one point in there, as we have a responsibility, at the end of that it says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining or thieving, but showing in all things good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. See, the idea of adorn is to positively show forth the doctrine, okay? So we have to behave ourselves. You know, in the workplace, our employer may have certain rules, but our accountability is to the Lord Jesus Christ, and his rules, his standard of conduct is always going to be higher than that of an employer or even of a house, okay? So there's a step of, you know, you can be a good employee, but that may fall short of what the Lord Jesus Christ would require of us to be a good servant of his and to adorn his doctrine. Remember, what's at stake here is either the doctrine is adorned or by you know, it can be blasphemed because of our conduct. And, you know, things we do on the job or things we do in our community that people see, people have an eye for that. You know, they have an eye for what we do that is inconsistent with what we say. And we have to, by the grace of God, live up to the doctrine that we teach and that we believe. All right, a companion passage is the one where it says, "Don't let it be blasphemed. You know, don't let that doctrine fall. You know, don't give cause for blasphemy." And if you remember, that was the situation with Moses and Aaron when they misrepresented God in the wilderness, and God said, "You caused my name to be blasphemed," and there was a judgment upon them for that. They couldn't enter the promised land because of what had happened there, because God's name was dishonored by them at the striking of the rock. So that's a, you know, a principle of God's. God is not going to have his name blasphemed because of our conduct. And a lot of times, of course, that happens when we're provoked or otherwise. But we have to live up to the doctrine that we hold. All right. Another responsibility, I want to go back to Acts chapter 17, verse 19. This is where the Apostle Paul is in Athens, and he preaches the doctrine, but he preaches it to a bunch of skeptics. So the point is that it's the idea of preaching the doctrine in season or out of season. We have to preach to everybody that we have the opportunity. A lot of times, I know I do, you say that person is not going to accept this truth, and maybe you lack the courage to hold it forth. I know I do at times. But we hold it forth, you know, and it says some of those people believed. You know, the vast majority did not. They ridiculed, they mocked what he said, but some few believed. And, you know, God's after those, that some few. All right, And the last point is that we can't, you know, a preacher of the doctrine cannot allow in the church a false doctrine to be preached, other doctrines. And the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy about fables and genealogies. That's what people wanted to bring forth. Ray was telling me about he and John's encounter yesterday with a fellow who wanted to he was a Hebrew nationalist and wanted to bring forth genealogies. He wanted to make a case for the idea of bringing the tribes of Israel into the present day, all right? So that's the nature of that, is trying to establish, you know, use that, put that in place of doctrine, you know, instead of the doctrines of Christ. It's the idea of establishing some other way of standing or vindication apart from what God has given us, all right? So the next one I made is that the churches have a responsibility as a whole to the doctrines of God. We tend to make our pastors and teachers responsible to give us doctrine, okay? And then we sit back and passively take it. But a lot of the teaching is to the churches concerning doctrine is to churches as a whole. So we cannot let the doctrine lapse amongst ourselves. We know that the church is the pillar and ground of God's truth. It's the place where, in this time, God's truth resides, where God's doctrine resides. And we have to recognize that and make sure we uphold those doctrines, those teachings, because there is no other place where people are going to find them except in the local church at this time. Okay, there is no temple, you know, where people can go. It is the local church where people can hear these things. And one point I want to make is, you know, there's a difference in the Word of God between in 1 Timothy it talks about is the idea of differentiating between principles and precepts. So there's a lot of things that we have to get behind the rules that God gives and get into the principles of what God has given. So rules, the point is made that, you know, the rules are for those who are young or who don't believe. You know, rules are for restraints or laws, but we are supposed to be a people of principle and live according to principle, okay, and apply principle to our circumstances and not just a rule book, all right? So that's part of our responsibility. We have a responsibility to continue in the doctrine of Christ because that is how primarily we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the world identifies us with Christ is because we continue in his doctrine as well as in his love, okay? And as John, as he said in John 17:17, we need to learn the doctrine by obedience, so we can't just hold it up here and hold it away from our hearts. The doctrine has to be what is in our hearts, what we practice, okay, and what we verify by our practice as truth. As Jesus said, if you'll know my doctrine is true, when you do it. So the failure to do it is always going to be our failure to do it is a sign of doubt of admission that we don't accept the truth of a doctrine, all right. And in Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. We need to lay a solid foundation for the doctrine and then to build upon that foundation. So I'll read that passage for you. But it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. So here's the point is that we lay the foundation and we make sure we have the right doctrinal foundation, but we build upon it. A lot of people are content, a lot of churches, to stay with the fundamentals and not to move on to the deeper things of the Word of God. But we have a responsibility to move on, to lay hold of all his principles and not just to limit ourselves as a church to the fundamentals, if you will, but to move on past those. So And the next thing is that is a Philippians 1:9 is that our knowledge of doctrine should result in love, okay, in the practice of love in the church. So love comes out of doctrine, believe it or not. We normally associate love with an emotional response, but the love that the Lord exhorts us to is a knowledgeable love that comes out of his doctrine, and we are to be abundant in the doctrines of Christ and abundant in love for one another. And another responsibility we have at church is to be safekeepers of the doctrine. Teaching doctrine ought to be part of our church's culture. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether of prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or of ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do so with simplicity, he that ruleth with all diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So the idea of teaching here is the idea is the word doctrine. It's the imparting of doctrine. So these are all things that we need to be in play in the church. And one of those things is the effective teaching amongst ourselves of good doctrine. All right. And the next thing we need to do is we need to mark those who cause divisions in the church. Okay. We need to identify those who hold an unsound doctrine. And that's again where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. So if some people are holding unsound doctrines, those have to be identified and addressed. Okay, we don't let those go. Jesus said the doctrine of the Pharisees is like leaven. What does leaven do? Right, it multiplies unseen. And so the doctrines that we want to put forth, we want to be aware as we put forth good doctrine that false doctrines can show up in ourselves. So, you know, there's the idea of, and then there's to teach the doctrine clearly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there were many in the churches who wanted to bring forth doctrine. Okay, there was a period, you know, and Apostle Paul said, do it in an orderly basis. Okay, so not everybody can speak at once, and we don't have that problem in this church, but I'm aware of churches where that's a problem, where people want the floor. Okay, so we give forth teaching in an orderly, effective way, so that people can understand it. All right, and another thing we do, 1 Timothy 5:17, is that we hold those who teach us in honor. Okay, and actually the scripture talks about a double honor. So it says those who labor in the word. Okay, so bringing forth doctrine is a labor. It is work. All right, and those who do it, we must honor. And a lot of times, you know, in churches, the person who does that is the person who gets the least respect and honor from the people. So we have to be careful to give the person who teaches us that honor and respect and care and consideration. All right. We're also told in Hebrews 13:19 to be not carried about with strange and diverse doctrines. You know, they have a way of coming in, okay, and we have to challenge them and to not give way to strange doctrines, but rather to have our hearts established in grace is what God's word says. And in 2 Timothy 4:3, we need to, First Timothy 6:3, we need to separate from those who will not consent. So it's one thing for the people to have something, but when they won't be corrected, we need to separate from those who won't hold sound doctrines. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrines which are according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, where cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from soft withdraw thyself. So we have responsibility to withdraw ourselves from those who will not hold the sound doctrine, all right? And then we need to be not surprised that people depart from us because they don't hold sound doctrine. All right, so the Lord talks about, or Apostle Paul talks about, those with itching ears that will go. They'll go to hear to a place where they will hear what they wish to hear, not what God would have them to hear. All right, so that, you know, that will happen in a local church. And I will dare say people have come in here and walked out because they did not want sound doctrine. They did not hear what they wanted to hear, and they moved on. All right. So we can't, and back to 2 John 1:10, we cannot receive those who come into our midst with unsound doctrines as well. So the church, we have a responsibility to police doctrine as a church, okay? To uphold truth and at the same time challenge that which is not true. So that that's kind of what I wanted to encourage you in those things, that you know, that we are accountable as a church for how we handle doctrine, and therefore as individuals, we need to, you know, our church culture needs to be one that upholds the sound doctrines, and you know that, and when there's aberration in doctrine, we need to be willing to address that, you know, in a gracious way, but progressively address, you know, untruths that find ourselves in our midst. So that's what I wanted to share with you at this time. The doctrine we have is important. The doctrine is what differentiates, you know, from a mere statement of belief. It's the doctrines that we hold in practice that make us the disciples of Jesus Christ.